Lord, we do come to you as our well, as our source, as our God. We're just grateful, Lord, for being here to worship you. And pray your blessing as we do study your word and ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to us through your word. I pray, Lord, as you told Jeremiah, I will put my words in your mouth, Lord. Lead us closer to Christ. In his name, amen. You may be seated. Welcome. Welcome to Resurrection Church. How is everyone doing? Hello to those here and also online. There's a few watching online. Beautiful worship. Beautiful worship, yes. Before we get started, we need to pray for a lady named Teddy, who is a friend of a friend of ours, who had an accident. I think she broke her hips. Is that correct? Both hips, and has a brain bleed or something. So we want to just take this, just agree with me in prayer. Father, we do want to lift up this lady, Teddy, to you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would be the great physician in her life, Lord, that you would touch her body and extend your mercy to her, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would stop the brain bleed and that you would minister healing to her, Lord. Be with her family, be with herself, Lord. Let's just pray, Lord. We just pray that that you would watch over her, Lord, and that that she would be under your care, Lord. And we pray for your presence to be with her, and that she would sense your spirit with her, Lord. Guide her doctors, give them wisdom on how to treat her as well. And we just lift up Teddy to right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, we are a praying church, so we believe in prayer, and we believe in the power of prayer. Jesus prayed a lot. In fact, the disciples, you know, they said, teach us to pray, Lord, because they would see and hear how he prayed. And if there's anything that would make, that should be a distinction of a believer is their prayer. And so, anyway, we're in a little mini-series called How Do We Grow? And it sort of came from a question I've been asking myself and just wondering, how do we grow? Not as a church, but individually, because as believers in Jesus, it is essential that we grow. And so my own question was, well, how does that happen? And the series is not exhaustive, but I do want to start off with a scripture, a very familiar scripture, which it's interesting. Something that happened in the songs you picked out goes right along, and then some of the prayers that, before church we have prayer time, the prayers that Natalie and Daniel prayed, kind of all, it's like you guys were reading some of my notes, so the Holy Spirit's in charge of that, amen. So I want you to go to, we're going to start off with this very familiar passage in John chapter 15. And if you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles in the back. John chapter 15. I'm just going to really point out one, maybe a part of a verse as we get started. John 15. Verse 1, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit unless of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Now here it is. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Let me read that again. Jesus says, I am the vine. and you are the branches. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do some things. You can do most things. You can do a little bit of things. No, he says you can do nothing. Is our source. God is our source. God is our God. Jesus says, I am the vine. I am the one whom life is flowing through, and you are the branches. You are attached to me. Branches that are detached from the vine die or are dead. Very fundamental truth. It's a positional truth for the Christian, which means that it's true as a believer, we are attached to Christ, right? There are those that fundamental truths that he is our life. Right? His Holy Spirit indwells believers, right? That's the truth of us in believers positionally. But on a practical level, I'm going to look at some things practically. Because practically, we don't always live as if God was our source. Christ is our source. We are meant to live lives that are dependent on Jesus Christ. Now, when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing, that is nothing day by day, moment by moment, minute by minute, breath by breath. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Critical, we understand, as believers now, we're talking about now how do we grow. Now we're looking at the practical aspect, okay? We never will graduate to the point where we are independent of God. But our problem in a practical life as believers is this. We tend to live like we are the vines in ourselves. We can agree positionally, hey, I'm in Christ. I agree with that, right? But in our daily lives, we often live our lives detached, right? Just a development of what we're going to talk about. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns. That means the place where they hold water. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. So as it relates to growth, how do we abide practically? Okay? Because he says, if you don't abide, there's no fruit. So there's a practical aspect as a believer. And I want to use it as an illustration. Go to Genesis. Go to Genesis. Just to tie in with our tree illustration between before. Go to Genesis chapter 2 with my glasses. To the garden. Go to Genesis 2, and in verse 8, it says, the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember, there's two trees at the beginning, right? Two trees. Dependence. I'm my own God. I will determine my own destiny, and I will feed myself. The result is death. And spiritually, as believers, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. By the way, the veil of the temple was torn, top to bottom, right? Okay, which means something radically different happened. The Spirit of God no longer dwelt in temple made with hands. He now dwells within human hearts. But the Holy Spirit is not a silent partner in this. He's a gentleman. And so this whole idea of the Christian life, of growing in the Christian life, is deciding, on a day by day, moment by moment, am I going to live in dependence for Christ, of Christ for my life, or independence? Christians often live in this tree. I'll prove it later on. Now, here's the question. Because I know, positionally, I am in Christ. Positionally, we are in Christ. If you believe you're in Christ, positionally, we are alive. But practically, there are days when I'm eating from this tree. Amen? So how does God wean us from this tree to that tree? Because so many times, we still want to pull the levers of our life, right? We still want to be the captain of our ship. We still want to dictate things to God. So how does God wean us from this tree to this tree? You follow? Okay. I'm going to give you 5 ways. I'm not sure how far I'll get, if I'll get past one. And these aren't exhaustive, okay? These aren't exhaustive. You guys following so far? Okay. All right. How does God move us? See, because the goal is this. The goal is surrendering this source, self as being source, to surrendering to God as being source. This is critical for the Christian life, for growth. Okay? And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to grow. Well, if I'm thinking of an illustration of a tree, the first thing that God does to wean us from this tree to that tree is he allows storms and struggles in our life. Amen? I like to go in my backyard. The weather this time of year has been perfect, right? Yes? I had my car being worked on, and so I had a rental car, and I was returning the rental car, and these ladies were there at the rental car place returning the car, and they had golf clubs that were obviously from out of town. And I said, how was golf? Oh, it was great, you know. I don't know if she said a little warm, but I said, it's beautiful outside. Yes, it is. So where are you from? Minnesota. I said, you come at the perfect time of year because it's going to become an oven in a few weeks. Really? How hot does it get? Well, you know, 110 is, you know, and you're talking about June, July, August, September. I didn't mention October because I didn't want to scare her away. She scared away, yeah. I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with the illustration? What are we talking? Oh, how beautiful it is. Yes, how beautiful it is. You know, so I like to go in my backyard. Now I have go in my backyard and spend time with the Lord, right? You know, and I like to just enjoy the cool weather and the birds chirping, you know, and I have these trees and I'm looking and I'm just admiring them. I realize that there's times of sunshine, and in here in the valley there's a lot of sunshine, but there's also times of storms. God uses both in our lives to grow us. God uses the struggles to wean us. Because when we go through struggles, we realize we try harder, but it's not leading anything. And so there has this weaning of depending on God. During the storms, it's the times when the tree's roots try to go even deeper to hold on to, get your grip here, you know. And James says, consider it joy when you encounter various trials, because the testing of your faith will produce various things. The testing, the storm, the struggle produces things, endurance, and God uses that. And we try to avoid the struggle, but God's purpose for growing us is to use the struggle to wean us from independence to dependence. From self being the source to Christ is our source. Does that make sense? All right. God uses us to make us realize we need more than we can handle. In fact, he purposely, you ever notice that? He purposely allows us to face struggles that are too big for us to handle. I mean, I can handle some struggles, right? but when God allows you to face struggles that are overwhelmingly too big for your self-managing tree handle. God's struggle is God's school for growth. Yeah, everything in the Christian life is meant to bring us to the point of surrender. Surrendering. Jesus Christ faced that when he faced the cross. He said, "Not my will, but hey, surrender my will to your will, Father." He leads us in that. The first way he weans us, of course, is through struggle. And during the struggle, during the time when the storm is too intense, the circumstances you face are too much for you to handle and manage, that's where he wants you to lean into him, right? To hold on to the hand, the only hand that can bring you through. I mean, by design, it's meant to strip you from this to that. I don't know about you, I'm always trying to avoid storms and struggles in life, aren't you? Right? All of us, when we see it coming, we try to avoid it. But sometimes there are some struggles that God allows purposely so we can grow, because if it had not been for that struggle, God would not have deepened and deepened our faith and taught us dependency on him and taught us how to lean on him in greater and greater ways. Had it not been for that struggle, that trial that you faced that was beyond your own strength, beyond your own capacity to deal with, had it not been for that, you would not have leaned and called on God. The whole goal is for you to totally lean on God. That's where you grow. Right? Now, I wish after one, how many guys are with me? After one storm, you wish that was the final storm. But God is in the business of, he'll never waste any moment of your life. He'll never waste the storms and struggles to wean you from independence to dependence on him. That could be my message, and that will be enough to get you by. But that's the thing. Whatever you're facing, sometimes you're trying to look for the detour. God says, I'm leading you through this. I struggle with the fact we're a small church. But you know, because we're small, I'm leaning even more on God. Because if I can't depend on God, if it's just me and one other person, or me or 10 or 20, if I can't lean and depend on God to grow my faith in the times of little, how can then, when things get overwhelmingly big, and say successful, that's all, folks. Or slow down. Take an oxygen mask. If I have not been through the struggle of having to depend on God, Paul says, everyone's left me. Everyone has left me, he says in the epistles. But God, Christ, he's with me. See, during the struggle, you have to be stripped of the people you really rely on and your ways of managing it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus says, me. So he allows the struggles to strip you from your old habits, your old methods of maneuvering, your old GPS coordinates, take you through. No, no, no. He goes, you need me. This is not me. This is me over here. This is critical. That's why okay, Lord, thank you for the storms. Thank you for the sunshine, and thank you for the storms. Because if it's meant for me to rely on you only, and let it be done. It's in the soil of trust, in the soil of God's word, and seeing the faithfulness of God during those times when no one else knows what you're going through. They don't know what you're struggling with, you're facing, Bob, but you learn how to lean on the Lord. How many of you guys have learned how to lean on the Lord? It's in those times, those struggles, where you actually learn the faithfulness of God, right? And the strength of God and the wisdom of God. So I ask, Lord, send more. You better watch what I pray for now. This is supposed to be a walk of faith. All right, so that's the first way. I'm going to share a second way. Second way that God weans us from the tree of independence and death to the tree of dependence and life and fruitfulness. The second way is he allows us to encounter spiritual hunger. God allows us to encounter spiritual hunger. He allows us to, of course, face struggles and storms, but secondly, God allows us to encounter spiritual hunger. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, familiar verses. We've studied this before, the Sermon on the Mount, but there's a principle, there's an insight here I want to share with you. Matthew 5. I love God's word. 5:6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." You see that? But I want you to back up to verse 3, because that's where he actually starts his Beatitudes, the sermon here. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who are gentle or meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Do you see something in all those? Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. When you're poor, what does that mean? It means you're not rich. It means you lack. You're deficient. The ones who are poor in spirit recognize that they lack. Blessed are those who mourn. What does that mean? That means they lack joy. They're without joy. Poor, they're without stuff. Mourning, they're without joy. And gentle, well, they're meek. They're not weak. But he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who recognize their need, their hunger, their poverty are the ones who filled. Now, here's what God does. He allows us to face times of spiritual hunger or spiritual famine. Times when our own methods of fulfilling our lives become empty. And seasons of famine make us aware of our lack. When we face times of famine and spiritual hunger, we try to do things to fill that. But God is trying to strip us from that self-reliance. Go to Deuteronomy. I want to show you something. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go back to your Old Testament. Go to your left. Fifth book of the Bible, Genesis, then Exodus, then Leviticus, then Numbers, then Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. And if you don't want to turn, you can listen, but I like to turn my pages a little bit. I haven't graduated to using the iPad, so I like using the paper. Call me old school. I'm old school. But Deuteronomy 8, watch it, what the Lord says here. He says in verse 3, oh, good catch. Deuteronomy 8:3. It says, let's go back. Verse 1, all the commandments that I am commanding to you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land, which the Lord swore to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. So Moses is talking to the Israelites who have been wanting for 40 years. Now they're about to go into the promised land, and he delivers like 3 or 4 sermons. That Deuteronomy is basically 3 or 4 sermons from Moses. He's preparing that generation to go in. So he's recapping their travels and preparing them. And then he says this, You shall remember, verse 2, all the way that the Lord has led you, the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Watch this, verse 3, here it is. He humbled you, and what? He let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by what? Bread alone. But man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He humbled you and let you be hungry. Because in those times of spiritual hunger, there has to be a weaning from self-dependence to dependence on God. He taught you that man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's interesting that when our Lord, Jesus Christ, was tempted by the devil, he fasted for 40 days and became hungry, it says. He became physically hungry and, of course, dangerously hungry at that point. And then it says he became hungry, and then the devil tempted, and then he quoted these words, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." He quoted these words. It is those times of hunger, those times of spiritual hunger, where we're weaned from doing it ourselves to relying on God, that God grows us. Have you ever been hungry before? Have you hungered and longed for something before? I don't know about you, but some of us, how many of you guys snack like me too much? You know, you can have your tummies full of junk, but you're starving. Your body's starving because it's not getting the nutrients, you know? And so you can be filled with activity and filled with religious activity, and yet your soul is still hungry because Christ is not your source. God wants to bring us to a place of dependency on him, make us hungry for him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, he says, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom," that means words of my, you know, man, "but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Why? "So that your faith would not rest on wisdom of man," self-effort, independence, "but on the power of God," dependency on God. Okay, so that's two ways that God will wean us. One, of course, is allowing us to face struggles. Secondly, God allows us to experience spiritual hunger and famine. Let me go to a third one real fast. Thirdly, how does God wean us? Thirdly, God will allow us to experience times of silence and delay. How many of you guys like waiting? No, none of us like waiting. All right, come on, let's be honest. We live in a fast food drive-through world, instant this, instant that. We hate waiting. God uses waiting on purpose to develop us, to grow us. Come on, Lord, how come you're not moving fast enough? Come on, hurry it up. Right? Or when God's silent. When God's silent. Righteous. And Job experiences so much and doesn't hear one word from God until the end of the story. Loses his kids, he gets boils, he gets all kinds of, and then he's got friends. To wean us from here to here. And so we'll do everything. We'll pull the levers of our life to make God speak or make God move. Silence in our lives are not wasted years. Those times, those years you think you've wasted or you've been put on the shelf or you've been disqualified, there are times where God is trying to develop your faith to lean in him even more. Joseph wasted away in an Egyptian prison for years. In fact, he was age 17 when he was sold to slaves. Age 17, he knew God had called him. He had the dream at age 17. His brothers sold him because they were jealous of him. He spent years in Egypt, 13 years in Potiphar's house in prison. He's 39 when he sees his brothers again. So what, 17 to 39 is what, 22 years? Two more years later before he sees his dad. Moses knew he was called at age 40, but it wasn't until age 80 that God actually used him and called him and said, now you're ready. Because those years and times of silence, God develops us. Process of developing us, of weaning us. He says this, when God wants to make an oak, he takes 100 years. When God wants to make a squash, he takes 6 months. Many of us are just not really on that time scale. We want instant this, and God says, slow down. I am working because my interest in you is not temporary. I'm developing you for eternity. I'm developing you for eternity. And when God wants to make something right, he does it right, doesn't he? Some of us, he's digging down our roots really, really deep because he wants to make an oak, not a squash. Later? Yeah, because I have... Let's do that. Let's just stick with those three because I have a few more I'm going to develop because of time. But do you know the goal? The goal is this. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, how do I know? Let me just say this. How do I know on a practical level if I am abiding, if I'm eating from this tree of life, and depending on God? How do I know? On a practical level, I'll give you a real quick verse. Go to Galatians 5. This is how you will know if your source is Christ or if your source is self. If your source is self. Go to Galatians 5. This is how you know. And this is something you can test on a moment by moment, day by day. Galatians 5. If you're eating from this tree of self, here's what it's going to look like on a daily, moment by moment, here's the proof. Verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Oh, I've done that before. I'm eating from this tree. I'm drawing from the wrong source. Disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, being jealous and envying. I'm eating from this source. It leads to that. Drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, which I forewarn you that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So how do I know on a moment by moment? I'm reacting, if I'm fleshing out, as we call it, I'm not depending on Christ as my source, as my life. Right? But the fruit of the Spirit, here it is, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, patience. All those years of waiting, we need impatience to now patience. Process, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You want to know if I'm sourced in self or in Christ? That's how you know. That's how you know. Thank God. He is our source. By the way, his supply never runs out. Amen. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's thank the Lord for that. Lord, thank you so much that, first of all, Lord, for teaching us that not only did you come to this earth to live a righteous life and to live a perfect life and to die on the cross for our sins, but for believers, your Holy Spirit indwells believers, and that you are always, on a practical level, supposed to be our source. Lord, I pray that that you would bring each one of us, Lord, strip us from and wean us from selfish, self-centered, self-discerning tendencies of the tree of death, relying solely on you, the tree of life. That I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Lord, I pray that we would be abiding believers, Lord, on moment by moment level, and that you would grow us and mature us. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you that your supply never runs out. Thank you that you never run dry. And thank you, Lord, that you're always available. And I pray that whatever we face, struggle or storm or conflict or delay or anything, that we would trust in you, Lord. I pray your blessing on everyone here and everyone who's watching, that you would lead them close to your Son. Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, let's stand up. Stand up. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. I lost my train of thought. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And I pray that you would, as he leads you, learn how to lie and lean heavily on the Lord. For everything, for apart from him, you can do nothing. Faithful and he's good. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Take care.